Hello, friends, and Happy New Year. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, just outside of Seattle, Washington, on 1150 AM in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. This is the second hour of our broadcast. For the first hour, we had a wonderful lady on named Celeste Jacoboni, I think that's right, who's written a wonderful book on how do we pray. I'd like to just tell everyone briefly that we have a very special person in our studio now named Una Drake. She's the head of the Seattle UFO Network, and I'd just like to introduce you to everyone to her wonderful work. Una, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. What kind of work does your organization do?
Well, we're the Seattle UFO Network, and we are honestly, we've existed for the past 6 years as a meetup group, and we focus on educating people about all things UFO, everything UFO related, and we provide a safe place for people to come and talk about their own experiences and just connect with other people who share those interests.
How wonderful. Una, how do people get a hold of you if they're interested in contacting you?
Through the meetup group is the best way. Right now, that's our primary source. It's meetup.com/Seattle UFO.
Okay, wonderful. Una, thank you so much for coming into the studio today, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I also would also like to say we also have a conference that's being sponsored by a doctor named Dr. Lorraine Hurley in Costa Rica with a recent guest we had on the program, Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington. I'd like to go ahead and we have a short promo I'd like to play for that to tell all of my listeners about that. So go ahead and we can run that now. Hello, listeners. We have on the line Dr. Lorraine Hurley. She has her own wonderful radio talk show out of Boston called Uncommon Awareness. And Dr. Hurley, could you tell us a little bit about this conference you're having in March?
Well, absolutely, Ted. But I'll start by saying that we're all entranced with the mystery and wonder of life. But really, one needn't look any further than nature to observe and experience profound mystery and wonder. Because the cycles of energy, water, air, and earth are directed by the innate intelligence of the life streams to continually regenerate, invigorate our world, and strengthen our life force. Now, nowhere is this more apparent, splendid, and beautiful than in the pristine rainforest of Costa Rica. I've been there. And I am Dr. Lorraine Hurley, as Ted said, and I'm inviting you, his listeners, to join healers, researchers, and world-renowned scientist Dr. Gerald Pollack this March for a cutting-edge educational and healing retreat in the heart of the Costa Rican rainforest. You're going to experience conscious reconnection to nature's power through sacred geometry, ozone, orgone, and water-based healing therapies. There'll be shaman-led journeys through the rainforest. We'll be swimming with dolphins. We'll be sleeping in tree houses and much, much more. Now, not only will you experience firsthand the healing power of nature, we're going to teach you how to bring these healing practices into your daily life at home. So if you'd like details and if you'd like to register, visit www.feebleforum.com. That's www.feebleforum.com. And I'm encouraging you to give yourself the gift of pure life, or as they say in Costa Rica, pure vida. I hope to see you there.
Wonderful, Lorraine. And is there a phone number people can call if they have questions?
Visit www.feebleforum.com. That's www.feebleforum.com. Or call 508-714-0622. That's 508-714-0622.
And the dates for your conference are March 20th through the 29th?
Right.
Hello. All right, great. I'm so glad we were able to play that. Also, too, I want to remind everyone that I'm having my own Out of This World Radio is sponsoring our own Galactic Wisdom Conference at the Inn of Gink Harbor from March 6 to 8, 2015. For more information, just go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Now, if you call the Inn at Gig Harbor or contact them by email through my website, and if they say that all the rooms are booked, they're booked because we've had them set aside the rooms for the conference. They've set aside 50 rooms for people to stay at the wonderful inn at the Gig Harbor. So all you have to do when they tell you that is just say, well, I'm attending the conference, and they will give you a special discounted rate off the regular room price for the conference. So those rooms are available. Some people have called in and they've been told that the rooms are booked and not told them that they're going there for the conference. So it's very important to tell them that because we do have rooms available. You can, I want to thank you all for listening today. We will have in a few minutes, we will have a wonderful pre-record I did of Professor Rupert Sheldrick in London, England. Professor Sheldrick is a English author, public speaker, and researcher in the field of parapsychology, known for his morphic resonance concept. And what that is, morphic resonance means that memory is inherent in nature. And he writes that natural systems such as termite colonies, pigeons, plants, or all the other molecules inherit a collective memory from all previous things of their kind. And he said that this is responsible for telepathic type interactions between organisms. He's done groundbreaking work of the telepathic connections between people and also between various animals. We'll get into this in our interview in just a moment. He is the author of more than 80 scientific papers and 10 books. To read everything he's done would take the rest of this hour, so I'm just going to say this briefly. So he has studied in Switzerland, of course, at Cambridge University, in India, at Harvard University. He's gotten numerous awards, many awards for his research in developmental and cell biology, and he is one of the world's most interesting and famous scientists. So I'd like to go ahead and play that now. This is a pre-record I did yesterday morning, very early in the morning in Seattle at 5 a.m. Hello, Rupert. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you taking the time and for the interview today.
Good.
How did you ever get interested in morphic resonance and the collective memory? That's a fascinating subject.
Well, it started many years ago. Maybe 40 years ago. I was doing research at Cambridge on the development of plants, plant growth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a concept in developmental biology of morphogenetic fields, fields that shape the form of developing plants and animals.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important way of thinking about it. It's like they're like a kind of invisible mold that shapes leaves and flowers and petals, or in the case of animals, kidneys and livers and eyes and legs and so on. But the question was, how could these fields be inherited? And they couldn't be inherited through genes, and there was no other known way they could be inherited, and yet they clearly are inherited. So in a sudden flash, I had this idea that if there was a kind of resonance of forms across time, then a lot of mysteries of biological inheritance would be understandable. So that's when I came up with the idea of morphic resonance. And although most of the interest there's been in it since then has been in the realm of psychology and animal behavior, my starting point was, as I say, plant growth. And then I realized that this hypothesis has implications much more widely. It says that each species has a kind of collective memory, and this therefore would apply to behavior as well. I mean, if rats learn a new trick in one place, like Seattle, then rats all around the world should be able to learn the same thing quicker just because the rats in Seattle have learned it. And I then found there was evidence that this actually happens in animal behavior and human behavior. So the theory's broadened out since its original conception, and it's something I'm still working on.
Fascinating, fascinating. Now, I know you, on your website, you recently gave a lecture on psychic pets. Could you explain a little bit about that? That sounds fascinating.
Well, because this hypothesis of morphic resonance sort of opened up a new way of thinking, I realized that it would apply to social groups, flocks of birds, schools of fish. I think they're coordinated through social fields.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that this would apply whenever there's a social or emotional bond, it would apply to families of people, football teams, all sorts of social groups, but also animal groups, and also bonds between humans and animals. And I realized that this would then lead to the prediction that animals might be able to pick up their owner's intentions. So I started asking pet owners and thinking about my own pets, cats, and realized that actually there's lots of ways in which animals do this. They pick up their, a lot of cats pick up their owner's intention to take them to the vet. They hide. And I did a survey of vets and found that many of them had found, many of them had people missing appointments with their cats because the cats somehow pick up the owner's intentions and make themselves scarce. But the thing I worked on most was the ability of dogs and cats to know when their owners are coming home. About 50% of dogs and about 30% of cats seem to know when their owner's on the way home, and they go and start waiting for them at a door or a window. And we did experiments on this. There's one of them, a YouTube clip of one of these on my website, sheldrake.org. Lots of experiments with dogs that know when their owners are coming home, showing that it's not just routine and it's not just hearing familiar car sounds. We filmed the place the dog waits when the owner's out. We had people go at least 5 miles away and come home at randomly selected times, not selected by them, but by us, in taxis or other unfamiliar vehicles. And we found the dogs anticipated when their owners were coming, even when they couldn't possibly have known by routine or they couldn't have heard familiar car sounds, suggesting that this was telepathic. And I think telepathic linkages between members of social groups are normal, not paranormal, natural, not supernatural. They're part of animal nature, the nature of social animals. We have these abilities too, but not because we're special. And in fact, dogs are usually rather better at it than people.
Well, that's a fascinating comment. You know, I come from a psychic family, Rupert, and my foster mother was a master psychic, and she used to help police departments find missing and lost children. She was very good at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, that is an amazing ability. Yes.
And she trained me how to contact the other side in the fifth dimension and receive messages to and from our guardian angels, so to speak. And as an example, I've gotten very good at it over the years. Last weekend, I was at a psychic fair where I did 10 readings, and my accuracy rate, Rupert, was between 90 to 100%. And and what I would do is I would just have the person sit quietly in front of me, and they'd ask me a question, and I knew immediately the answer. I had one young lady sit in front of me, and she said, "What should I do with my life?" And then I said to her, "Well, I can see you teaching either an elementary or a kindergarten setting." And she said, "Do you know what I'm studying right now?" And I said, "No, I'm going to school to become a kindergartner elementary school teacher." So,
well, that was pretty spot on.
And then I said, "You have a boyfriend?" And she said, "Yes, his name's Ryan, correct?" And then I said, "Within 5 years, you'll be married to him and have 2 children. And because she was wondering about her family life. And people often come back to me later and say, "Well, you were right." And I don't know how it works, but I have that capability. And I was trained in it by my foster mother to tap into the other side.
I see. Do the answers come to you just as thoughts, or do you hear them in a voice, or how does it work?
Usually they come in thoughts. The way my foster mother explained it, Rupert, was that on the other side, in the fifth dimension, we're in the third here, the fourth dimension's time, and the fifth dimension is it's another dimension where people who, souls, for example, who passed on, exist. She said the physicality in the fifth dimension is just as real as it is here in the third. But when you can tap into that, the spirits who exist in the fifth dimension communicate usually by thought, because it's easiest for them to communicate by thought because they're in a much, much higher vibration. The other fascinating thing that she told me was that the information you get in the fifth dimension is usually 100% accurate, because there's no reason for them to hide or conceal facts or information. Here in the third dimension, people try to to conceal things all the time. They may twist the truth or not be completely honest. But in the fifth dimension, the only error that may occur is your interpretation of what the spirits are saying. But if you get a good psychic who can tie into that other side, then you've got a very valuable tool in determining the truth of almost any situation.
Very good. Yes,
we had.
Well, I don't know how you do on some of my tests. I have a number of tests running. I've got one running on the internet right now on my website, and anyone who's listening might want to try it.
All right.
It may not be. It's not the kind of thing you normally do. It's rather artificial. But one of the things I'm interested in at the moment is whether you can tell if somebody else is looking at the same picture. And I have what I call a joint attention test on the internet, and people do it in pairs in different places. Of course, you log on through the registration thing. It's very simple to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a series of trials where you see a picture. In each trial, there's a couple of pictures, and there's music going with them. You see a picture, and then you have to guess if your partner is seeing the same picture or a different picture. And sometimes it's the same time, sometimes it's different, it's random.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather an artificial test compared with the real world things you do, but I'd be fascinated to know how you got on with it if you try it.
Oh, I'd love to try it. I'd love to try it. I think, let me see, I printed some things off your wonderful website. Is it www.sheldrake.org? Is that
That's
right?
That's it, yes.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. I'll go
this
there.
This is called the joint attention test.
Okay. Wonderful. I have to tell you, this may sound unusual, but you do have a visitor that just popped in. It's the same entity that I picked up when I was interviewing Jerry Pollack from the University of Washington about a week ago. During that interview with Professor Pollack, I had another psychic on the show with him toward the end of his interview. Her name was Lois Berman. She has her own television and radio show in Boston, a very successful psychic. And I was astounded when she said that Albert Einstein had come in and wanted to give some messages to Professor Pollack. So I had him on the air, and he was very proud of his work. And he did give him some messages. And I'm getting, now that you're on the line, I'm getting he's just came in now. And he's saying,
you mean Einstein?
Correct, Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. His spirit has just come in. And I know this.
What's he saying?
He's saying that he's very proud of your work. He wants you to, he says you already do this, but to try some meditation, quiet meditation, for any interesting problem that you may have or issues you may have in your own scientific research. He's saying to try some meditation early in the morning or late at night when your mind's completely clear, and he will help you solve any problem that you're interested in.
I see. Well, I'm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I do pray on a regular basis. But I think quiet meditation in the morning is a good idea. I do sometimes do that actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Well, it'd be interesting to know what Einstein could help with, but the thing is that what I work on, biological and psychological phenomena, is very, very far removed from his primary areas of interest, which were, of course, in mathematics and physics.
Sure. But he is there. He said he'd like to help you in any way he can. He says you're doing great work. It's not his field, but he's still interested in helping you. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, thank you. We all need all the help we can get, and certainly help from the discarnate Albert Einstein would be very good.
The other thing, too, I want to tell you is, the title of my radio program, Rupert, is called Out of This World, so I'm not limited. So I have a lot of esoteric subjects and, you know, people on my show. And one of the people I've had on my show last year several times was a gentleman named Scott Limriel. He's written a book about different alien groups visiting this planet, and one of them is called the Galactic Alliance. And he told me of a there's a way you can tune in to their help if you like when you're meditating or praying. It's called it's called, like to share this with you, it's called The Hue. It's like Om in India, which puts you in touch with God, but it's just called simply The Hue. And you just say, when you say it, you can say it either to yourself or out loud. It opens up your pineal gland, which is the Hindus consider your third eye, which opens up your creativity centers, which is another way to access an ability to help you resolve any problem. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because as a scientist, I know you have a very inquiring mind, and they are also just coming in now, and they said that they'd love to help you. So if you if you say The Hue, then that you
the
will.
Hue, when you say The Hue, you mean like H-U-E, that sort of sound?
Yeah, H-U. It's like this. I'll just share it with you. It goes like, something like Hue. It's actually a very, very ancient meditative tone. And the Galactic Alliance is an alliance of 435 million planets comprising of approximately 7 trillion entities in this this one-third of the Milky Way galaxy. And they are all highly advanced. They're mostly human, not all, mostly human, all benevolent, all very highly spiritually advanced, between 8 to 50,000, sometimes 100,000 years ahead of us technologically and spiritually. And I've been in telepathic contact with one of their ambassadors through my friend for the last 5 or 6 months. And he's here now, and that's why he's telling me to share this particular Hue with you. It'll help you when you're in your research. They're recommending doing it maybe 5 to 10 minutes a day while you pray or meditate, and it'll help open up your pineal gland and give you scientific insights to your work that'll be extremely helpful, they said.
All right. Well, thank you for passing it on.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure. I've shared this with Professor Pollack. He found it very interesting. And I, you know, when I had Professor Pollack on the show here about a week, 10 days ago, I certainly hadn't planned on having Albert Einstein on my show with me. But my psychic friend from Boston, Lois Berman, said that he came through her, and then he came through me as well. So they're there to help on the other side. And they want you, they're very proud of your research, Rupert, and they want you to be even more successful. So that's why I know you're doing wonderful work, and they want to help you, you know, give you ideas and point you to places where you can find the answers that you're seeking.
Mm. Yes, well, generally speaking, I mean, ideas are always helpful, but I find that my problem is I have too many ideas, not too few.
Really?
The problem is implementing them. You know, there's only so much time in the day, and you know, I have quite a few research projects going on at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of them, you know, I have to talk to people, organize things, get the funding in place, etc., etc. And fortunately, there's recently several people have offered to fund additional research, so I've got more going on than ever before. But as I say, my problem is not a shortage of ideas; it's a shortage of people to help and to take part in the experiments and so forth, which is why if anyone who's listening could check out the joint attention test on my website, that would be a big help. Well, I'm also going to be doing some more experiments with dogs that know when their owners are coming home, and I'm just launching a program here in Britain for people at school from age 10 upwards to do experiments with their families, with their family pets, on dogs that know when their owners are coming home. So if anybody's listening who has children in the family and a dog or cat that knows when a member of the family is coming home, do get in touch, because they could take part as prototypes in this research. I'm going to roll this out with an actual competition for the best projects later in the year. But we need a few people to try it out first. And so if any listeners want to get in touch, then get in touch with me through my website, and I'd be happy to follow it up with them. And that's, the website again is www.sheldrake.org.
Wonderful. What a wonderful idea. I have to share with you this too, Rupert, is last year I had one of the best pet psychics in the world on my program, a wonderful lady named Sonia Fitzpatrick. She lives in Texas, but originally she grew up in England, and she's a wonderful lady. She can communicate with animals, pets and cats, from the owners, from the other side, and even when the owners are in one place and the pets are in another location. If you'd like some time, I'd be happy to put you in touch with her. But just wanted to offer that to you if you'd like to do.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, she may know of people who have animals that that do this. Yes, that would be very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will. I just heard from her publicist in San Francisco last week. I'll just send her a little email about your experiment. And also, too, I want to lend my support to you. Anything I can do to help you in your research? I think you're doing fascinating research. I know that what you're doing is very important, and you will be coming up. Oh, they're telling me, Einstein's telling me that, and the Galactic Alliance is telling me you'll be coming up with some fascinating, very profound discoveries in the next 3 to 5 years. So they said, keep up the good work. They're just telling me that now. So
very good. Well, Ted, we won't be able to go on much longer, but the thing that would help me most, actually, that is when I have new experiments coming up, ones that people can do at home,
okay.
If you could help spread the word, that would be really helpful, because what I rely on is people participating in this research. It's not done in laboratories. The research I do is kind of real-life research. You know, the pet research happens in people's homes. I've got the joint attention test people have to do on their computers or smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm shortly going to be launching a new telephone telepathy test in the United States. And that's a test where can you tell who's calling? Lots of people have had the experience of thinking of someone who then rings, and they say, "That's funny, I was just thinking about you."
Mm-hmm.
This is a test to find out, in the experiment, the people are linked up together through the computer. Three people are involved in the experiment. And in each trial, one of the people is told to focus on one of the others. So, say I was the subject for that trial, there'd be two other people, mm-hmm. A and B. Mm-hmm. I'd be asked to focus on A.
Mm-hmm.
And then A and B would both be asked to guess who was about to speak to them. Out of the other two people, they don't know who the caller is. They just know they're not the caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a prototype working in Britain that's giving above chance positive results. We're fine-tuning the experiment at the moment. We've just got the beta version running. But I'm planning to roll this out in the US within a matter of a few months. So when that comes out, maybe I could let you know, and you
please
could tell your listeners, and people could have a go. It's a fun experiment. It takes less than a quarter of an hour. It's free. And most people who've done it so far have found it very engaging.
Well, that sounds just so much fun. Please let me know how I can be of help, and I'd like to love to tell my many listeners around the world. My program now is one of the top-rated talk shows in the Seattle, 3.1 million area, Seattle area. The signal from my shows also extend up to Vancouver and Victoria, British Columbia. And I'm also the fastest growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. So I have many people listening, and I know that they would love to participate. So you may
very
have
good.
Yes, you may have more people than you wish for. So.
Mm. Oh, I don't think so. No, the more the better for this kind of research.
Wonderful, wonderful. One last thing. I know you have to go, Rupert, and I appreciate you coming on the show today. I printed off an article, telepathy in connection with the telephone calls, text message, email. So just wanted to mention this to to my listeners that you had an article published. It's on the web from the Institute of Noetic Science about this very subject. Well, your work's fascinating, Rupert, and it's only going to get better and better.
Well, thank you. Good. Well, I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing, Ted, and I hope it continues to flourish, your program.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. The purpose of my show is to raise human consciousness, and I think Nostradamus was right. Back in the 16th century, he said by the 2030s and the 2040s that humanity on this planet as a whole would be entering into 1,000 years of spiritual advancement and technological advancement, and we would truly enter a golden age. And I think Nostradamus was right. Actually, I think we're entering that sooner. And people like your wonderful research, examining and analyzing people's telepathic abilities and morphic resonance of collective memories for across species, it's all part of that consciousness raising. And in the coming years, they're saying that 3 to 5 years, you'll be getting in some fantastic, very profound discoveries. This is just the beginning, they said, of your a new chapter. You'll have a lot of fascinating things to share with humanity.
Very good. Well, thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Rupert. Well, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today.
Good. We're very good to talk.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
All righty. Bye-bye. Take care.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Hello, friends. This is Ted Marp coming back on the show again. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle, Washington, in the United States. And we just had a wonderful interview with Professor Rupert Sheldrick in London, England. I did that yesterday morning, early in the morning from Seattle, about 5 AM. Surprised I was still awake, but it was 5 a.m. here with an eight-hour time difference is 1 a.m. in London. But a fascinating individual. And as you heard on the interview, we had the spirit of Albert Einstein come in and said he wanted to help Professor Sheldrick with his wonderful research. So that was a nice surprise. I wanted to make two quick announcements before we go to Norway for our next wonderful guest. For those in Portland who would like to go to Portland, I'll be at the New Renaissance Bookstore on 1338 Northwest 23rd Avenue in Portland on Friday, February 6th from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., delivering a message about love and gratitude, a message for the children of the future. I'll be talking about the Emoto Peace Project and my project to print and distribute Dr. Emoto's children's books to every library and school in America, followed by Canada, then Central and South America. For those interested, please call the New Renaissance Bookstore for tickets. Their phone number is 503-224-4929, or if you go to their website, it's www.newrenbooks.com/events. Also, too, I wanted to let people know over in the Port Townsend area that there is a wonderful crystal gem show going on tomorrow. In Maristone Island in Northland. It's just outside of Port Townsend. If you'd like more information, please call area code. It's a Hawaii number, but the person's local. It's area code 808-342-7427. Ask for Deidre Burke. Now, let's go to Norway, to Bergen, Norway, to talk to my friend Terry Wolfsberg. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Well, welcome to the Out of This World.
Thank you.
It's so good to talk to you, Terry.
Thank you.
My pleasure. It's nice to have you on. Terry was invited me to his wonderful UFO conference in Bergen, Norway last October. Had a wonderful time, met some incredibly interesting people, and of course the experience was simply out of this world, totally out of this world. Terry's interest in UFOs and extraterrestrials began when he was 17 years old. And since that time, he's retained his interest in extraterrestrials as well as alternative medicine, such as homeopathy. For many years, he was a co-worker in Share International, spreading information about the Masters of Wisdom and their emergence together with their leader, Maitreya. I hope I'm pronouncing it that right.
Maitreya, yes.
Maitreya.
The world teacher, yeah.
Okay, good. In recent years, the information he's been disseminating about those highly evolved individuals who come from other worlds and who supervises us and tries to help our space brothers and our extraterrestrial friends. His websites in English are http://ufofacts.org and also http://cropcircles.info. He also has a YouTube channel where he talks about ETs and extraterrestrials at simply Terry Wolfsburg, spelled T as in Ted, E-R-J-E, space W-U-L-F-S-B-E-R-G. Terry, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So good to have you today. Terry, tell if you could tell our many listeners in Seattle, around the world, in over 60 countries, this wonderful UFO conference you're having again this October in Norway.
Yes, we have another one, but this time we have changed the venue out to the countryside. It's a historic place called Stiklestad, but it was a famous king who fell there in a battle in 2030. And this is an interesting spot also because there has been two crop formations there, and it's a ley line passing through Stiklestad, going to the famous church called Nidarosdomen in Trondheim. So it's an energetic hotspot. So there will also be quite a lot of UFO sightings in the area. So we think it's a much better venue for such a conference.
Oh, fantastic. How interesting. And for people wanting to attend, is there a website they can go to?
Yes, they can go to the website UFO-conference, K-O-N-F-E-R-A-N-S-E, conference, it's a Norwegian.com.
Wonderful. Yeah, mm. if they spell it the English way of C-O-N-F-E-R-A-N-C-E, they won't get it, but that's good. Thank you so much.
No, that's in English. Yes, it is in Norwegian, yes. It's the same word in Norwegian.
Okay, wonderful. Now, for those coming from North America to your wonderful conference or for other parts of Europe, would they fly into Oslo and then take a train north? Is that right, or could they fly into the area? What's the best way to get there?
The most convenient is to fly to Trondheim, to Værnes Airport near Trondheim. Mm. And from there is a train going from the airport to Verdal, which is 2 kilometers from Stiklestad.
Oh.
So that's 1 hour train ride from the airport.
Okay.
And then you're there.
Wonderful. And what are the dates of the conference, please?
It's from the 2nd to the 4th of October this year.
All right. Wonderful. Now you
already booked the speakers.
Oh, wonderful. Mm. Could you tell us a little bit about some of the speakers?
Yes, we have Sixto Paz-Wells from Peru, from Lima in Peru. It's just one of the world's most famous contactees, contact person for extraterrestrials. And he has been into this for over 40 years. And 9 times he had what we call programmed sightings. That is, on a prearranged day, he prearranges a sighting that his space friends say, we will show up at this and this time and that location. And then he invites the media to come and see for themselves and document this. He has done this 9 times. That's the world record for this type of programmed sightings.
How interesting. Does he know where the extraterrestrials are from? Do they identify themselves? Or?
Yes, his first contact is from, it's Oxalk, his name. It comes from one of Jupiter's moons called Ganymede, the largest of Jupiter's moons. There's a colony there of extraterrestrials from various places in the cosmos.
Interesting. I think one of the things that this brings up an important point, Terry, I'd like to run by you, and it's my own personal belief that the universe out there is teeming with life, even though...
That's correct. That's
yeah.
Perfectly right.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly true. Mm.
And I think that some people naively may think that, you know, when you look at the stars and you see all those planets out there, you may think that, well, you know, it's the last great frontier, and all those planets are uninhabited, and all we have to do is to get there somehow, travel there somehow. We can conquer it for humanity. But I think we'll have a rude awakening when we finally get up there, because I think we'll find many civilizations out there.
That's true, and we have been visited also by several extraterrestrial civilizations, which has shown a great interest in humanity and are watching us and overseeing the evolution here.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
They also have great concern for us because of our nuclear weapons, and they also regularly place their craft over nuclear weapon sites and make the function of the missile, the launching mechanism, put them deactivated.
Sure.
Deactivates the launching mechanism of this missiles, nuclear missiles. One of the speakers at the conference, his name is Robert Hastings. He is has specialized in this.
How interesting.
Well, I know a lot about this.
Yes. Well, I know from my conversation with Scott Limriel, who was at your conference last October, he's been, of course, in contact with the Galactic Alliance for the last 53 years. And he's told me that outside of this planet, nuclear energy is illegal and is banned. But nuclear, the technology of nuclear energy was actually given to various Earth governments back in the 1940s, so that we, by the reptilians, so that we would destroy ourselves. And it's very interesting what he had to say when you mentioned that.
Yes, that's one. It's a very destructive kind of form of energy, and it. The leaks trillions of small particles through the walls of the nuclear reactors. Also, it's a very dangerous form of energy, and it goes up in the higher in the stratosphere and disrupts the upper layers in the, of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very harmful, and we mm-hmm. should stop using nuclear power immediately.
Well, I couldn't agree with you.
Of course, disarm all nuclear weapons.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, wasn't that the when the Pleiadians visited President Eisenhower back in approximately 1954? It could have been 53. They offered there to help humanity advance, spiritually advance, and to eliminate disease and poverty. But they asked Eisenhower and the Joint Chiefs of Staff to eliminate all nuclear weapons, and they didn't want to do that. They wanted to keep their weapons because of the so-called Cold War threat from the then Soviet Union.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But it's too bad we didn't take them up on that. The crop circles are very interesting. Will people be able to go out and see crop circles once they reach the conference site?
There was a crop circle there several years ago. It's we hope to have another one coming this summer. The interesting thing is that the extraterrestrial civilization that makes the crop formation, they can tune into our thought forms, because there are several instances where people have visualized a special pattern, and then this pattern comes in their field a day or two after. Mm-hmm. Especially when people together visualize on the same pattern, this thought form is picked up and this pattern is made. And we hope to have a new pattern we call the Flower of Life pattern this summer. And that as many people as possible tune into this and visualize this this formation, and then we hope it will appear. We try to do an experiment with this for another flower of life formation to appear in at Sea Crystal. Similar one that was in 2001.
Mm-hmm. I've been in touch with the other side. And I've been a psychic for over 20 years, Terry, and I've also been in telepathic communication with the Galactic Alliance. And I just asked them mentally now, telepathically, if they would do that, and they said they would. So it will be done this summer in time for your conference. It's their way of saying hello. And also, they're telling me now that they often do crop circles as a way to circumvent our governments and to communicate directly to the people to give them messages that they are here and they're trying to help us.
That's true. The core formations have several different purposes. Mm-hmm. And one interesting thing about them is that they are all placed, the genuine one, are placed on special points on the ley line system. It's corresponding to our meridians in our body. They have special points there called where acupuncturists can place a needle and influence the person's health on all levels. And the same way, the proclamations are placed on the where these ley lines cross each other, and there's an energy vortex. And on this hotspot, this proclamation is it's placed, and then the energy from the proclamation energizes the whole ley line system and affects the consciousness of everything, everywhere on the planet. So it has a profound implication, this crop formations. It's not only a nice formation, piece of art in a field in England or wherever they come.
Fascinating. You know, the media here in the United States, I don't know about Norway, but here in the United States, the media is very, very controlled, especially the major so-called mass media. And there have been, for the last 4 or 5 years, there's been crop circles appearing in an area between Ritzville and Wilbur, Washington, actually closer to Wilbur. Now, Wilbur is located about, I'm not sure, maybe 30, 40 miles west of Spokane, Washington. And that area is approximately maybe 200 to 220 miles from Seattle. I will be organizing a group of people going out there to look at the sites where crop circles have appeared, probably in the next month. So stay tuned, friends, for that. I'm going to be driving over there probably this weekend to look at some possible sites. But it's an area where the crop circles have been appearing. Again, you won't hear about this in the major media because they just don't report it. But it's been there, and it's local. It's local news. Everyone over there knows about it.
Okay, interesting.
How has your media, major media in Norway, have they reported on the crop circles, or they've kept it quiet like in the United States?
Mostly keeping quiet. But there have been documentary in one of the major TV channels here about the crop formations, about the Wiltshire crop formation in England. And this year we also have Freddy Silva, which is one of the world's most foremost experts on crop formations. He will hold two lectures at the Stiklestad at the upcoming conference.
How interesting. This is just fascinating. I'm so happy you could come on today and share this with my many listeners around the world, Terry.
My pleasure.
Have you yourself seen craft or met any extraterrestrials?
I've seen craft several times. Of course, we live in an area here near Bergen, which is similar to the area called Hessdal. It's the most famous UFO hotspot in Norway. It's an area here where we can have a look out the window and see crafts, balls of light appearing in the sky. Suddenly they're there, and they can come two together, and then they disappear. And they always follow the same path, from east to west, going low. We see them when the sky is clear. We also see a disc-shaped craft on one occasion. That was in the middle of the day together with three, four of my friends.
Fascinating. Well, I just wanted to let everyone know, too, for those interested in going on an expedition to eastern Washington sometime next month to see crop circles and where they've been before, please either give me a call at 509-750-9793 or just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to ask you too, Terry. Now, all alien groups, all extraterrestrials are not equal, are they? Some are good, some are bad, some are neutral.
Yes, it's been visited by several different civilizations. They have different agendas. Mm-hmm. Some are just observing here, mm-hmm. because there's such a great variety of life on this planet, and we live such short lifespans here. So it's very interesting for them to observe. Mm-hmm. And they're also what we call the space brothers, the extraterrestrial friends and helpers that oversee the evolution here in the same way that the masters of wisdom around spiritual hierarchy overseas devolution, and try to inspire us to make the evolution more in accordance with a plan of evolution for this planet or all the kingdoms here. But these extraterrestrials that's here to help us, they don't interfere directly in our affairs. They have, they're governed by the law of free will and the law of non-interference. So it's up to us if we want to have to help from them or not.
Now, there are some alien groups, namely the reptilians and their gray friends, who've broken that, haven't they? They repeatedly interfere with our affairs here on the planet.
According to information I have from several sources, there are different types of reptilians. There are benevolent reptilians and malevolent reptilians. So the negative ones have tried to interfere and meddle also with genetic engineering and tampering with our genetic code, and they have done that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember
that information comes from several credible sources.
Right, right. I remember in Norway, I had met several women in particular, who had been abducted by the reptilians and forced to have hybrid children with them. They were traumatized by that, of course. And I also met another lady who had been heavily implanted by the greys and the reptilians. But at the conference, I think she was able to get some help through the Galactic Alliance and through Jerry Wills, a wonderful healer who actually is going to be at my conference in early March. So those interested in coming to the conference, if you've been implanted, I could arrange he'll be giving a healing workshop on Saturday night on March 7th. So for those interested, you'll get a chance to meet him in person. And if you believe you have been abducted and implanted, he could help you.
That's fine. The influence of the negative extraterrestrials, the reptilians, will eventually go away and are disappearing rapidly. Because when the Masters of Wisdom, a large part of the Masters of Wisdom, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet, they are perfected human beings which have been through all the experiences we are doing here, and they have were elder brothers. They have gone for us in evolution. These men and women have finished the Earth experience, and they can choose to leave the planet and go on evolving on other higher planets. But 63 of them has chosen to, they have chosen to stay here and help us. And 40 of them are going to be among us and externalize and come into the open. They are now in desert area and mountain area, and they are in remote areas, just not interacting in our daily life, but they will. And that will give us a very, very positive input to help to change the civilization to come on a much higher level than we are today.
Wonderful.
But we're sure the resources that this planet have much more fair and equitably, and we also are able to take care of the problems with the environment,
Wonderful.
The environmental destruction that's going on.
Terry, I hate to interrupt, but we're getting close to the end here. I just wanted to say I want to make some quick announcements and then give you the rest of the time for the closing comments.
Okay.
For next week, a week from today, we will be having Ray Chandra. He is the world's famous healers. He lives in Japan. He'll be coming on the show live from Tokyo area. And I also wanted to remind everyone of the Galactic Wisdom Conference coming up at the end of Gig Harbor. The website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com for more information, or you can simply call me anytime on my toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339, or email me at outofthisworld1150.com. And we have about 50 seconds left. Please, you have the floor, my friend, to say whatever you like to wrap up your interview.
Yes, the future is bright, much brighter than most people realize. Looking at the current world situation, because there are very positive forces waiting in the wings to come forward to help us to change this current situation. And that's both the Masters of Wisdom and the extraterrestrial or extraterrestrial friends and helpers. They work together, cooperate also with this, try to inspire us to make this world a much better place for everybody.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful, Terry. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And friends, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And I'd like to finish off this interview with a famous song by John Lennon.
Imagine there